Mini episode 599 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Unheard Scene, your home for great music interviews of all stripes. Follow them on the web at unheardscene.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to mini episode 599 of the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Ken Detweiler, your FDH Lounge dignitaries. We broke down the American League circa Labor Day weekend 2015. In 598, we're going to do the same for the National League here in 599. And in looking at the National League, Ken, I figure maybe the most effective way to do this is to kind of get the bottom feeders out of the way. Because I'll tell you, from doing the bi-monthly power rankings for the FDH Lounge multimedia magazine, the bottom six teams in baseball, I think, as of our beginning of September ones, are all in the National League. That's what accounts for the big imbalance here in the National League. They both have the best division, which is the Central, and then they have the worst division, which is the East, because you have just the gravitational effect of Miami, Atlanta, and Philadelphia pulling everybody down at that point. Let's start with Philadelphia, because they were the one that was expected to be there, maybe Atlanta to a degree in their rebuilding process, but people were kind of making some noise after the trading deadline when they dumped Hamels and, you know, made some moves here in Papelbon, and they got hot for a little bit there, and everyone's like, OMG, Philadelphia, gonna make a big run, and you see now that was a mirage. I never believed it was anything but the future, and you look at how things are going there, the future does look fairly promising here. Franco is sort of one of these post-hype guys who broke through eventually, and, yeah, you know, they do have some building blocks eventually, but they really... They made the big mistake of putting off the rebuilding process. And you look at Houston. That's why it was as long and painful as it was, because they put off the inevitable. They didn't want to admit after the Bagwell-Biggio era that it was over. Philadelphia is going to regret only going whole hog on rebuilding, I think, at this point in time.
Yeah, their Keystone kids are out in L.A. right now.
Yep. They're stuck with Howard because that awful deal.
Well, and that's exactly where I was going to go with this, Rick. All winter long, they said Howard, they're going to get rid of Howard. They came out and just said it right to his face repeatedly.
Yep.
We're going to get rid of you. The only one that's still left out of Papelbon and Utley and the rest of the Gas House gang is Howard. Nobody want to take that contract.
You know, if they thought that he was going to somehow, you know, decide to retire because his feelings were bruised. You know what I think back to around the time of the turn of the millennium here, and fellow lounge dignitary Kyle Ross likes to call the greatest sport of them all, a.k.a. wrestling. I go back to the old job squad with Al Snow and those guys. They had the saying, pin me, pay me. And that's basically where Ryan Howard is right now.
Yes.
Pin me, pay me. You're going to have to pay me my 25 mil, bitch. That's where he's at.
Yeah, and you can't blame the guy. I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. But, I feel bad for Ron Glasnap and Joe Ortizzi.
Yes, some guys we know that are Philly fans.
Two friends of ours.
I join you in that. And, again, though, and Howard with 20-plus home runs, that's, if not, you know, an A-Rod-esque surprise, at least a mild surprise at this stage of the game.
Yeah, he's a Dave Kingman.
So, yeah, I mean, he can at least, you know, give you a little bit of pop while he's taking up a spot on your roster there and, you know, holding back. Now, then again, I don't know that anybody is busting through the gates at first base in their minor league system here. It's going to be a difficult rebuilding process for them, but at least now it's finally underway, albeit probably 2 years after when it should have started. Atlanta, meanwhile, in the division is right about where they thought they would be. They're targeting 2017, the start of the new ballpark. Yeah. John Hart has been there and done that in terms of trying to get a team attuned so that they're ready to go day one in a new park. He's, you know, he sort of started his career being in charge doing that, and he's going to end his career being in charge of a team 25 years later under the same
doing
circumstances.
The same. Yeah, it works.
Yeah, it does. It does, and he's very good at it.
Yep.
And it's weird, though, because they had a farm system. I mean, their farm system's been barren for the last year or two. But you look at when the guys have been coming through previous to that, you know, whether it be Tehran, whether it be Freeman, whether it be
Mike Miner.
Yes, when you had a lot of those guys bursting through. And it's funny because we did a segment on the lounge. We recorded it and put it up February 29th, 2012. And this was an idea that lounge dignitary Nate Noy and I had. We recorded this with a fellow dignitary, Chris Galloway. Mm-hmm. And it was called the leap year time, and I'm mangling it right now, but it was a time capsule. I believe it was the leap year time. Like, we made predictions for the next 4 years, so we're supposed to reconvene February 29th of next year and see what we did. Teams to repeat as champions or win more than two championships in sports between 2012 and 2016. I remember saying the Atlanta Braves because I thought they were going to be peaking right about now.
Sure.
2014, 2015, whatever.
Wow.
I thought they could win two titles.
Yeah.
So to me, they're a disappointment because they didn't even sniff one. Really?
Right, right.
You know, so that they're a disappointment. I mean, for Hart to be having to come in and dismantle what they had, and, you know, I understand that rebuilds can take shorter in baseball these days, and that's what he's counting on, because 2015, as we tape this, or 2017 isn't too far away.
No. Well, you're right. They had pitching, like you just mentioned, and Freddie Freeman and a couple other good ball players.
Mike Miner really didn't pan out, and so it was a combination of guys not panning out and, you know, other things that happened. But, yeah, it makes you wonder what was going on there. But certainly Atlanta is a team that, again, they were playing above their head for a decent chunk of the season. But, you know, water finds its own level, basically.
Yeah, it does.
So, and he certainly wasn't going to trade to put them in a better position for right now because they've kind of written off this period of time. A team that's in the exact opposite circumstance, didn't expect to be here, but it's sort of Groundhog Day in Miami because this is what happened when they first opened up their park.
Well, and they bring the general manager in to run the club?
Yeah, that was kind of weird. A guy without any field managing experience at any kind of serious level.
And now I heard that the rumor was today, not rumor, it was stated that the Marlins were having a big meeting today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it was today. Because some of the scouts are already gone. They're starting to really start to clear house.
Yep.
And who knows what's going on. And that,
well,
that
I'm sure it wasn't the scouts that were saying, go overpay these guys. And, you know, it's always the working man that ends up being the fall guy, isn't it, really?
Well, they said this guy, and I can't, his name escapes me, but it was the general manager who came down.
Jennings?
Yeah.
I believe, yeah.
They said that he's probably not going to be back as a general manager even. They're going to start, they're just going to clean it up.
Well, Jeffrey Loria can't fire himself, so.
Yeah.
You know, or won't, so.
Right.
That's what you have.
But that team has talent.
They do. And that's, you know.
You've got Fernandez and Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah, Stanton, when he's healthy, when he's not, you know, banged up, he's a guy you can build around. They definitely have some very nice
pieces
in there. They do. They do. Yeah, your boy Christian Yelich is somebody that can produce for them. D. Gordon has just been a very, very nice surprise.
He has.
As far as being a late bloomer sort of at the top of the lineup there. And, you know, yeah, they're a team that's going to be heard from probably as early as next year. You get a full season in there with Jose Fernandez. And, you know, it's really going to make a difference, I think, getting him from day one and some of the other moves that can be made there. But, yeah, it's... You know, it never should have gone off the tracks this badly.
No. Again, it's health. A lot of it is.
Right.
And I still question any team in Florida even having a team with the fan support.
Yeah. They are a bunch of front runners in Miami. And, you know, we may be a little bit bitter because of things like LeBron in the 97 World Series. But that doesn't mean it ain't true.
No.
You know, so, you know, doesn't mean we're not right about that.
Or the World Series they stole from us.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that, you know, which I, out of all the Cleveland sports memories, I always say that's the worst one. You can keep your drive, your fumble, whatever, because, look, the drive would, I mean, that tied the game and sent it into overtime. By the way, why is it that the rest of the country doesn't realize that Rich Carlos's field goal never went through the uprights? That field goal was no good.
No,
but I never hear anybody outside of Cleveland mention that.
Nobody.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, in the fumble, okay, Beiner would have just tied the game. Granted, we had a big comeback. We had all the momentum. It would have been the mirror image of what they did to us the previous year with the drive.
Yeah.
But in neither instance, is that anything that decided the outcome? The 97 World Series, and Grover, I love you, but ugh, I don't know anybody in this city that wasn't screaming for him to just to leave Brian Anderson in for the ninth inning.
Well, and do you remember the aforementioned Bobby DiBiasio on
yes.
our show?
Mm-hmm.
Said they already had the Visqueen up, and
yeah.
they were putting Chad O'Jay's name on the most valuable
yeah.
player of the series.
Yeah.
And then, pack it up, boys, we're taking it to the
well,
other locker room.
In terms of sentiment, too, and if I remember correctly, I think that's the last
story.
Game. It is. It totally is. That's the last game Herb Score ever called for us,
really?
I believe. I think that was his retirement
wow.
year.
You can only hear it here at the FDH line.
Yeah, and that's and it's like that just makes it worse because I understand that nationally, he doesn't have the profile that the great Harry Callis did or the great
no.
Vin Scully or anybody else. But, like, every town's got a guy. You know, Bob Prince in Pittsburgh
yep.
and the great Ernie Harwell in Detroit, who you and I had the luxury of interviewing the one time here. Herb Score was our guy.
Yeah.
97 Indians, that hurts me worse than any of
yeah.
the rest of the Cleveland sports memories. It
yeah.
just does.
We were
yeah.
right there.
Yeah, we were right there. We had it, and it was gone. And it was, you know, and so, you know, yeah, it For whatever tiny amount that it helps, it does help a little bit to see the Marlins have a year like they've had this year.
I'm taking a moment of silence in order
yeah.
for us Indian fans.
Yeah.
Cleveland fans.
Yeah, well, you know, if the Marlins are ever going to have a moment of silence for anything, you'll get some flatulence from me. But, you know, in terms of a team that had it right there and let it get away, you know, as we continue to look at the bottom feeders of the National League, that's a logical segue to the Reds, is it not? Because –
it is. Yeah,
how have they sucked so bad? I mean, a Walt Jocketty team, this is light years away from what was accomplished in St. Louis. It really, really is.
It
and
looks like a Paul Brown team now.
Yeah. they have, you know, in the latter years, Paul Brown, not the glory years
yeah,
that we
true.
Got.
Yeah, that's
what
we have now.
No. Yeah.
Although they still can't do anything in the playoffs.
No, no, they can't. They have the... The Dalton ceiling on them, as it were, but
yes.
you know, the Reds should be so fortunate as to even to have that, and it's a thing too where I was looking at it this year, and you know the notion, and again they weren't quite the bottom feeders that they are now. They weren't at that point back at the trading deadline, although they were basically out of it. But this notion of, well, we've got to trade Johnny Cueto because he's gonna be a free agent at the end of the year. I'm like, really? I would have thought a Walt Jocketty team, a well-run team, wouldn't be just resigned to losing him. How do you be like, okay, time to trade our ace pitcher in his prime?
Well, look at it this way, too. As I'm listening to you here, Rick,
mm-hmm.
it's what team in the major leagues wouldn't want three hitters like Frazier, Bruce, and Votto
yeah.
this year?
Yeah.
Having a closer like Chapman.
Yes.
Having an ace. A team that has an ace.
Yeah. What's their excuse?
Cueto. I mean, just those five players alone
right.
should give you contention time.
They got so, you know, their lineup isn't, you know, sterling top to bottom. But, you know, when you've got a guy like Zach Cozart who doesn't suck anymore, that helps you.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brandon Phillips, my good buddy. That's a of course, for any old school Life's a Pitch guys, we are, of course, making light of the time he was very rude to me in the Buffalo Bisons clubhouse in 2004 when I was just trying to conduct an interview with him.
Yep.
But not that I have a long memory or anything.
And thank God I was stuck in traffic.
Yeah. Well, you saw the stricken look on my face later.
Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, Phillips has kind of bounced back to where he's doing okay. He doesn't have as much pop anymore. But, again, you look at this lineup, there's not any obvious reasons for this. If you were to put Cueto back in the rotation, and he's only been gone since July anyways, so that doesn't account for them having the horrible record that they do. Again, you know, it's kind of inexplicable, and that's the kind of situation it should call for a house cleaning, and that's kind of what they've been looking at with Milwaukee also,
yeah.
too, because – Yeah, Milwaukee. Now, again, I think they would have had to been a little bit delusional to feel like they were really a player this year, especially in that division. But I don't know that anybody expected it to go as poorly as it did.
No,
because I don't think regression to the mean carries over 1 year to the next. Wasn't it? It was either last year or the year before. And I'm at the age, unfortunately, where years are blending together. But I'm pretty sure it was last year, wasn't it? Where they got off to that like insane start. And
I believe
are the Brewers doing it? So. Yeah. Maybe this is just delayed progression to, or regression to the mean, as bad as they suck this year.
I look at Milwaukee this year, and it's like vanilla ice cream.
Yep.
It's like, okay. But tastes good, but that's it.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you look at the lineup, and it seems pretty obvious, because outside of Lind and Braun, who else really scares you in that lineup?
Yeah, I mean, Luke Roy was hurt. And
Yeah, he has not been himself this year.
He wasn't like he was the year before.
You know. And, you know, the other Chris Davis is basically a sort of poor man's version, actually. You know, I mean, a hole in the swing, but a little less power.
Yeah. I misspelled his name.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the top three teams, which we'll discuss later. But,
that's a heck of a division to be in. I would not want to be Milwaukee and Cincinnati. You know, because they've got a hell of a hill to climb. I'll tell you what, those might be the two teams I pity most in baseball, medium to long term. How are you going to climb that hill in that division?
Yeah.
I
don't see it.
I don't see it either. That's going to be brutal.
That's like the American League East used to be.
Yeah. You know, there are a few divisions like that at this point. That's one of them. You look at teams that are out of the mix here. We go to the National League West. Start with a team that's not as far out of it, and they've been doing okay, but again, no great shakes. Arizona, I mean, and they're you know, it's easy to see here going forward, you know, what the progression is. You build on guys like Pollock, Goldschmidt, who's, you know, one of the five best hitters of this generation. It's a pretty easy path, you know. You see that you want to build around some of the some of the talents that they have there, but the pitching has a ways to go. That's kind of holding them back still.
Yeah, Goldschmidt is my MVP of the National League.
Yep.
Today.
And that's the thing. You know, they may not be a bad enough team. You know, it wouldn't be like an Andre Dawson on the Cubs in 87 situation. You know, I mean, Arizona's not a contender, but it's not like, you know, if he was on the Reds, nobody would say MVP. But I think Arizona being at least mediocre keeps him in the conversation. I agree with you.
Yeah, because I think, well, you said the Reds. I think Votto would have to be in the top five.
Sure.
Over there.
But he's got no chance because, you know, the whole thing about – and I am somebody, by the way, who doesn't have a problem with Andre Dawson winning it, whatever. I don't like to get too literal on the valuable thing.
No.
But everybody's just like, well, they could have finished in the last place without you, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Okay, you know, you can't tell me that, you know, as bad as a team is, then you might be a historically bad last place team without somebody. You know what I mean?
I do.
So, you know, and without Goldschmidt, I mean, you know, we're at the point now with, you know, win shares and all that kind of stuff where we try to quantify how many wins come from a player. But, you know, there's at least more than a handful of games, I think, that they would have lost had it not been for him. He is amazing. I mean, and it's a thing, too, and this is sort of like another conversation of where it's a shame because, and I've had this conversation on Facebook with old STN cohort Tony Mazur about how we have such great baseball players today, but they're not known to the mainstream. And it's a shame that Goldschmidt's not really known, because it's like, and I use my dad as the perfect example. My dad's not really a baseball fan. But my dad knew who Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Derek Jeter, Cal Ripken, all these guys. Who outside of the baseball bubble these days even who knows how great, like historically great, Mike Trout is? That, like, Mike Trout is maybe the best hitter we've seen in 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Who outside of the baseball bubble knows that? Who knows that Paul Goldschmidt is like the modern-day Paul Bunyan, you know, this big ass-kicking mofo that can just hit the ball 600 feet? It's a shame. It really is.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's in a market that's the other thing. And of course that's
the Phoenix
the
market. Yeah.
That's always
good
been
luck
the
with
case.
That. You know. You know. You're playing before 75-year-olds with no disposable income. You know what I mean? You know, I don't think you're going to get rich playing in a market where old ladies are, you know, choosing between Diamondback season tickets and eating cat food, you know? I mean, that's
Oh, jeez.
I don't know. Am I painting with a broad brush here?
Yeah, a little bit. It's more like a roller.
Well, I've never been the most politically correct of all the dignitaries.
No, neither one of us. That's what makes the show so blessed good, folks.
Exactly. So. My constant presence keeps it from being too pleasant.
All the blue hairs out there. There you go.
Well, they're not my demographic anyways.
I'm going there fast. So.
Yeah.
What's a podcast?
Yeah. I don't think there's too many of them that are going to be picketing me based on what I just said.
They'll be going to day games so they can get home, go to bed.
Well, just a stone's throw from there and probably the same demographic, the San Diego Padres.
Yes.
They are at least a team that had expectations. And again, me being the dummy who goes by the November, who won November, I thought Miami-San Diego was going to be the wild card game this year. They should have a game after the season just to decide who the biggest disappointment was. But, San Diego, as opposed to Miami, has at least been mediocre. But mediocre is not what we expected based on that offseason. They went for it now. And I've read some very, very interesting commentary online about how the general manager, Preller, should maybe have his nuts in the vise because I didn't quite realize this, but I mean, how much he decimated the future for right now. I mean, I was like, okay, they traded away a bunch of prospects, but whatever. I didn't think it was quite everybody. No, it was everybody and their grandmothers that he leveraged for this year.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Now, I did. I do give credit to the media where they do hype up this November.
Yes.
I mean, I could never remember talking in September what happened in November, but it's been marketed so much that – here we are. We remember what they have, what team did what, blah, blah, blah. And you're absolutely right. All they did on the MLB Network, which I watch during the day, because I work out of the house, not because I'm in my 70s yet. But, not that there's anything wrong with that, Rick.
You're not in the Arizona demographic. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But the media hyped that up so much.
Yep.
And so it stays imprinted in your mind.
To an extent, though, to an extent they did it because, especially in the case of San Diego, I mean, we could look at, maybe Toronto 2 years ago and whatever, and it was pretty dramatic. What is more dramatic than what San Diego did in the last offseason? I mean, the number of things, and it's like, what just put it over the top was acquiring Craig Kimbrell, the finest closer, I think, of his generation. I mean, when I think of the baton passing, and I he's not going to have the baton as long as Mariano Rivera, but I think the baton went from Rivera to him as far as being the best closer.
Yes.
So, they got Kimbrell at the start of the season, but in offseason, you're looking at Upton and Kemp, and, the Dodgers actually picked up a good chunk of Kemp's money, and on down the line here, Shields and everybody else here, Will Myers. I mean, they're racking up former rookies of the year here, and just a big, big disappointment.
Just didn't happen.
Yeah.
As we've talked all night about these various teams, the injuries, and this is a topic for another day, but the injuries have just stockpiled more and more each and every year. I mean, it used to be pitching that everybody got hurt. Now people are pulling hamstrings left and right, and they're doing this and they're doing that, sore backs. It's like, really?
Yep.
I mean, I hope somebody does a study about all the injuries in the
major
leagues. I mean, the Tommy John surgeries that keep mounting and mounting. And
there have been a lot of them, San Diego's had injuries, but they can't even remotely, claim that's, the sole reason or even the predominant reason they've done what they've done. In terms of teams that have fallen on their ass where we pretty much expected it, the team we talked about it thus far was Philadelphia. The other obvious candidate would be Colorado. And that's, again, of all the places to build a team, that's the toughest in baseball because to try to build it to that ballpark and I do applaud what baseball has done in the last 10 years or so with the humidor because I think they've tried to normalize the circumstances as much as they could as opposed to having it be a big outlier. But it's still a tough place to build, and particularly, again, a pitching staff. And what do you do? How do you build you know, that kind of a staff. And I think it also makes it hard a little bit to an extent on the hitting end, because the splits that you get are so just out of whack.
They're vast.
They are. And it's like, how do you figure between them, you know, like what somebody would be like, you know, most of the time here, you know? And you want guys who are going to perform well in that park, but, you know. Now, I think a guy with the power of a Nolan Arenado, who has really kind of come on this year, he's for real. I mean, that's a guy that in any park, I think.
There's one of those young bucks that are coming up through that we've talked about, which is, I've never seen this before. And you mentioned it, too.
It's wild.
It is. I mean,
yeah.
These guys are just coming up, coming in, and dominating.
Yeah. It's a great time to be a fan. And that's the thing, too, is that, you know, relative to the names we were talking about before, you know, that everybody knew about, you know, down to like a Chipper Jones, you know, and certainly like, you know, Smoltz, Maddox, whatever. These guys are all just still anonymous.
Yeah.
And they are, in many cases, putting up numbers that are better.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, did Chipper Jones, with all due respect to him, I'd like to compare his best year to what Arenado's doing this year.
Yeah.
And it might be a wash for Chipper, quite frankly, with the kind of year Arenado's having. And, yes, it's at Coors. But still, this kid's for real.
Yep.
And, even if Colorado isn't and won't be anytime soon. But in terms of looking at the teams that count, going division by division here, honestly, I think we all thought the Mets would be more likely to be in the first conversation than the second one that we're starting with them here. Because, again, you know, they are – it's funny. We talk about our Cleveland Indians, and I've talked about this with my friend and fellow FDH Lounge dignitary and 21st Century Media Alliance stalwart Russ Cohen, who's a Mets fan. You know, the Mets are basically what we were hoping for from our tribe.
Yeah.
Excellent pitching, and you hope that the hitting does just enough.
Yep.
And with the Mets, I mean, you know, they've been pretty much carried by the pitching. It's true. And you make a couple moves during the course of the season here. You call up the great prospect, Conforto. He's done a decent job for them thus far. And, you know, they've had some things that have gone their way. And, you know, certainly in terms of, it's a little bit spotty, but you're going to get some pop from Granderson from time to time. And, again, the one thing that has really helped to a tremendous degree was the trade of Cespedes. And did you hear about that great tweet at the trading deadline from Jerry Seinfeld?
No.
Jerry Seinfeld celebrated it by going, "It's a Cespedes for the rest of us." Like, that is genius.
As opposed to the Festivus.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. You know, and he's not enough to prop up this offense completely.
It's a Cespedes.
Yeah. But you look at the pitching here, you know, Jacob deGrom, who has spent a good part of the season trying to edge his way into the conversation with Kershaw and Greinke for best pitcher in baseball, and just the other guys as well here, this young Steven Matz that I know you and I have had our eyes on for a long time now, Matt Harvey in his comeback season, another one of these great young guys, Syndergaard. So even with Wheeler going down, the depth that they have had has just been awesome.
It has been. It's just phenomenal. You draw a great parallel. It's the team. It's our Indians.
Yeah.
Without the timely hitting and the defense, apparently.
Yeah. But, without Carlos Santana being a chode that just disappoints you at every opportunity. You know, the Indians, and again, I'll be interested to see this after this season. Number of hitters left in scoring position. Has a team stranded hitters as badly as the Indians have?
Yeah.
You know, it's like me back in the day playing La Russa Baseball 92. You know, that's what it reminds me of, the way that they're struggling.
They're leaving small villages on the bases.
They are, pretty much, Ducks on the pond, as some might say.
Bruce,
yeah. But the Mets, I think we would agree, and I think even a Mets fan like Russ Cohen would agree, there's just no way they should be leaving Washington in the dust right now, because the Nationals on paper are still the most talented team in baseball, a team that's scuffling around 500 at the moment. I know you and I have said off air, we're both Matt Williams guys. I am, because one of my favorite out of all the Indians teams was the aforementioned 97 Indians. I got a couple friends where we've kind of talked about this and how much we like kind of the National League flavor of that team with him and Marquise Grissom. And that was a fun team. That's the team that won 87 games and was kind of lucky to make that run. It was probably the least talented on paper of the teams during that run. But it was a fun team. Matt Williams was a big part of that. and a great guy and somebody who I know we have thought was going to be an excellent manager. But, I mean, somebody's got to take the fall for this one here. It doesn't look like they're coming back. They have a better chance of catching the Mets right now than they do getting a wild card spot here from the Cubs.
Matt Williams always reminded me of a Kurt Gibson type.
Yeah.
Just tough as nails.
Yep.
Just, I mean, to me, he was probably the best third baseman the Indians ever had.
Right.
In my lifetime.
Right.
I saw. Because his throws over to first were chest high. They had a little mustard on him.
Yep.
And you never heard him complain. He just went about his work. It was just.
Yep. We talked about Giovanni Urshela before. You need some pop at third base. Matt Williams had that to spare, yeah, buddy.
And I love, no disrespect to Travis Fryman when
yep.
he came over, but he just was not, to me, it was not Williams.
Totes agree, yeah. Williams was my favorite third baseman of that
yep.
era, no
yep.
question about it. You know, from the point that Jim Thome moved over to first, you know, Williams was my favorite. And I tell you what, too, it's one of these things, and again, you know, in talking about this on the show recently with Chip Carey, he pointed out, in all fairness, Washington has had a number of injuries this year, has never really gotten to put out the optimal lineup. But in terms of the pitching, that hasn't been as much of an issue.
Fister has been kind of a duh.
He kind of has. You know, Scherzer has fallen off after the great start that he's had. Strasburg, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, probably hasn't been completely healthy the whole year the way he's been pitching.
I would agree because they brought him back and then he put him on the DL again. And
yeah.
Him back. And
Jordan Zimmermann has had some issues. You know, he hasn't been consistently at the level that we expect. But this is, you talk about the difference between this and other sports. Bryce Harper took the same jump forward this year that Steph Curry did. Look at what Steph Curry did for Golden State.
Yep.
Look at what Bryce Harper has meant to the Washington Nationals. In baseball, you may be an MVP, but you're one spot in the lineup, buddy. You're one hitter out of
yep.
nine, and that includes the pitcher in the National League hitting. You know, and again, he hasn't had the protection up and down the lineup that right. you would have expected consistently. But that's the thing, though. I mean, Washington, when they're suffering injury problems, it's like, okay, we're not the best lineup in the league anymore. We're back a little more towards the middle of the pack, but we still have awesome pitching. But then in the pitching, that's been less explicable. And the bullpen. The bullpen has underachieved.
Yeah. I mean, it's and you got Ryan Zimmermann, who's been pretty much a no-show all year.
Yeah.
In the hitting department. Worth hasn't played.
Yeah.
Of course, he hasn't lived up to his contract since they got him.
Yeah, I mean, briefly he did, and then it's kind of been a fall off from there. Anthony Rendon hasn't really been healthy much of the year, and it's just been one thing after another. Although I will say this though on Hardball Talk that I hesitate to even mention that troll Craig Calcantara on there mentioning because that's all that guy does is live to troll. But him going after Matt Williams for the meltdown that they had against St. Louis where Moss won the game, his thing was, and he, of course, being the consummate troll that he is, treated it as there's only one side to this argument of why didn't Matt Williams put in his closer in the ninth inning in a tie game? And you could make a case for that.
Sure.
Or you could make a case for saving your closer for hello when he has a lead.
And he can close it.
Yes. And as Matt Williams pointed out after the game, you were going to have to pinch hit for whoever came in the ninth inning anyway, so you weren't
right.
going to get two innings out of them.
Because
so
it's National League.
Yeah. So it just, you know, we can rip Matt Williams, but to go after him on that and be like, you know, this is the manifestation of all that he has done wrong this year. Okay,
sure.
Reaching as usual, troll. But
well, I watched the Nationals. Besides watching Williams,
mm-hmm.
I tell you what, I don't know how old Harper is. Is he 21?
I think so, yeah. Still
he's
super young.
He's got the quickest bat that I've seen.
Amazing.
I mean, that bat speed is phenomenal.
It is.
And I'm thinking, is he 21? That's
mm-hmm.
it? It's like, good Lord. He's right there with Trout.
Well, and that's the whole thing, too. Is
phenomenal.
That in 2012, it was a thing where everyone was, it was one of these things where the media and then MLB was guilty of this as well, the whole thing of like, it's the magic and bird of baseball, Trout and Harper.
Oh, yeah.
Would you get out of here with that crap? First of all, I hate media-invented storylines anyways. So that's where I get into arguments with Kyle Ross on the show all the time because he loves the ESPN, you know, media complex and, you know, the way that they invent stories. But it's a thing, too, of like, let's be honest. Until this year, there was a tremendous, a decent-sized gap between Trout and Harper. And this year, it's easier to speak of them in the same breath. I still, with Trout, I mean, I go back to, this is a guy in 2012. You know, you're used to the whole thing of like, this guy could be the next Ken Griffey. This guy could be the next Frank Thomas. That was a guy, like, as soon as he came up, people were saying Mickey Mantle. Like, whoa, we're talking Mickey Mantle. We're not comparing him to, like, Reggie Jackson or anything. Like, Mickey Mantle. So, I mean, to me, Trout is still the gold standard. I don't know that we've seen anybody like him in 50 years, but Harper is inching closer to him. Yeah. That's how great
and
he is.
And younger.
Yes.
A little bit. I mean,
a little bit,
know,
yeah.
A couple years.
Yeah. So, you know, but, yeah, it's the limitations on what one player can do.
Right.
It doesn't look like they're going to run down the Mets. In the Central, it has just been an amazing race at the top. I will tell you this, and this I never saw this coming, but much like how I screwed up my pick in the American League of the Indians to come out of the American League, in the National League, full credit, buddy, I said the St. Louis Cardinals. I don't even know exactly why. Although I will say it's when they had Adam Wainwright, so in fairness to me, I thought they were going to have another gun in there. But my sense is that they're just perennially in the mix every year. It had been a couple of years since they had been in the World Series or had won or whatever, and it's kind of like you can't pick against St. Louis too many years in a row.
No.
They're going to be there, and lo and behold, they've been a lot better than even I thought they were going to be, and they just came out shot like a cannon and have been amazing. They've been doing it largely on the strength of their extraordinary depth at pitching, but they've had a lineup that's been pretty solid when it's needed to be, and, you know, they just look tremendous. They look like the team that I picked to win it all at the start of the season.
Yeah, and I have to say, as the years have gone on, you know, growing up in the era that I grew up in, you didn't know much about the National League teams because you never saw them.
Right.
But every year they have such a system that they just roll it over.
They do.
It's almost like the New England Patriots. It's like there's a system top to bottom that just they buy in.
Well, some of that may be, of course, on data that came from the Houston Astros organization, and we'll find out how that thing goes.
Yeah, that's true.
May have a little bit to do with that in some ways, but, you know, we'll see where the investigation leads. But for the time being, on the whole innocent until proven guilty thing, yeah, they've really been remarkable at how they've, you know, had such a dominant team this year. And
they do it different ways every day.
They do. They do. You know, and I have to tell you, too, you know, that being in the same division, you know, my BFF, Jeff Maslanich, a great behind-the-scenes contributor to this show, he's a Pirates fan, and he's just despondent of, you know, year in and year out, it's the wild card. You know, it's one game, because when you're in the same division with St. Louis, that's the barrel you're looking down. I mean, to an extent, you'd rather be in the middle bracket than we talked about before, Milwaukee and Cincinnati. Really sucks to be them. That's probably the worst spot to be in baseball. But Pittsburgh and the Cubs, now granted, you know, this is an anomaly. St. Louis is going to come back to the pack next year, and it'll probably be more of a legitimate three-way race between them. But for right now, it's pretty frustrating because Pittsburgh's facing the third time now of what's going to be a one-and-done situation. We can already, I think, kind of paint them in for the one spot right there and probably hosting the wild card game. And I always say this in terms of looking at their situation there, and in terms of the great young players in baseball, almost an elder statesman by the almost a graybeard by the standards of the guys we're talking about here, Andrew McCutchen, just because he's been up for a few years now.
Yeah.
One more thing to hate about Pittsburgh if you're a Clevelander, because you know who Andrew McCutchen has turned out to be? That's who Grady Sizemore was supposed to be.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be that guy.
And he was for a blimp.
Yeah, for a period of
for
time.
For a blink, rather.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and, you know, McCutchen is that guy. And now they're building around him and filling it in, you know, with the likes of Marte in the lineup. Polanco really starting to kind of come on this year. Neil Walker has been a kind of a perennial for them. Pedro Alvarez, I mean, he'll always have a hole in his swing, but, man, when he connects, look out.
Yep.
You know, up and down the lineup here. To go over to the Orient to get them some pop from Kang at shortstop here. That's working out.
He's turned out to be a real nice player.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. I mean, and that's a situation where I don't quite lump them in with, you know, the likes of the Indians or the Mets or whatever, but they have a little bit of depth here in a sense of, yes, in the playoffs you are going to have to sacrifice Cole in the wild card game. But it doesn't necessarily make them dead for what comes after that, though. You look at the kind of year that Burnett has had and some of the other guys that they can trot out there, and it does give you some sense that, you know, they may be able to hang in a series that comes after that.
Yeah, they've got a great team, and I look at them, too, and it's just – and I pull for them because they're in our area, and they handle their business the way I think you should handle your business, because they were a doormat forever. What was it, like 17 years or 18 years or something like that? They never made the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, since Bonds and
well, a run comparable to Kansas City in terms of futility.
Well,
both of them have come on,
yeah,
and that is a very plausible World Series combination for this year.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's the funny thing is, I'm almost inclined to pick that as a World Series combination just because
Kansas City and Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, because here's the weird thing. That they both had the heyday in the 70s, and it kind of ended in the 70s for Pittsburgh. Kansas City's went into the 80s a little bit, but they never played each other. Here's something that's really weird, is because when I always try to look up statistical oddities before some of the big playoff series, and I found that the Royals and the Angels, I think it was like every year between 76 and 86, one of the two of them was in the playoffs. Or I'm sorry, no. Well, the Angels and the Royals, now they were both in the Western Division, so they could never play each other in the playoffs.
Right.
But they were both in, I think, one of them was in from 76 to 86. But Kansas City and Baltimore, remember, their primes were a long overlap. Ken, they never played each other in the 70s or the 80s. And
never
then they played
did.
Each other last year in the American League Championship Series. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, that would be that World Series deferred from like 1978 or so.
I prefer that over a Subway Series.
It could be. It could very well pan out that way. But, you know, Pittsburgh's going to be right there in all likelihood hosting a game. And who that's going to come down to? The leading candidate at the moment, the Chicago Cubs, and I remember, and out of kindness for our friend Dave Adams, FDH Lounge dignitary, I won't give the name of this person. It's a friend of Dave's, a very pompous friend of Dave's, who argued with me last off season about why would Joe Maddon go to the Cubs? Don't you understand what a dumpster fire they are? Like, they're ever going to be good. A guy who is just so pompous. Who are like, okay, buddy, we'll see what happens. You know, and you look at what, again, you know, Maddon going there, he would probably say, now, this is a guy who never admits he's wrong. Well, you know, Maddon went there and Maddon turned it all around. Well, maybe they also had the good minor league crop that I was talking about at the time that came up.
You got to have something to turn around.
Exactly. You know, you bring in the likes of a Lester, Arrieta, we talked about much, much earlier with Baltimore taking that step forward. You know, poster children for the dominant players in baseball, finally getting a no-hitter. But that's the kind of thing I think that took to put him on the national radar, because that's a guy that should have been there all along. Clearly one of the top 20 players in baseball at the moment.
And I tell you, there is we haven't mentioned this. We talked about all these young kids, but you guys, Joe Girardi, you mentioned as a possible manager of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Maddon has got to be in the mix in the top five or so. You got Bruce Bochy.
Certainly.
You've got Francona. You're seeing an era of good managers to go along with. I just thought about that now as you're talking, because I have nothing but agreement with you on this stuff, because Maddon keeps these young kids like some managers couldn't.
Yep.
He keeps them loose. He's a character. I mean, he did that with the Rays.
Yep.
You know, wearing tuxes and stuff like that and goofy shit.
I'll tell you this, you know, somebody that we have now both been privileged to do some broadcasting with, and somebody who I know is looking forward to doing some broadcasting subsequently with Life's a Pitch, FDH Lounge dignitary and 21st Century Media Alliance member Steve Callis.
Yes.
He's been steadfast for a couple of years, just pounding his fist. Joe Maddon is the best in baseball, and I agree. I mean, I think – now – we'll talk about this in a little bit. Maybe it's hard to pick against the Bruce Bochy when you look at what he's had to work with and he got three rings. But, I mean, it's sort of like, what are you doing with what you got? And, you know, as far as he was able to take Tampa Bay in a situation where the organization was never as committed financially. And, again, as an Indians fan, I always kind of, you know, turn a stink eye to that excuse about not spending money. But in Tampa, it may actually be legitimate because they didn't support the team even when it was good.
Right.
Chicago, it's a different situation. He has more resources to work with there. Theo Epstein, the front office, he's going to get more of what he needs. And I think we're going to get a chance to see how good Joe Maddon is.
Yep.
You know, but yeah, a good chance to make the playoffs here. They're first in line right now.
Wait a minute here. That means they have
for the second spot, I should say.
Yeah. So what you're saying is they have really good management.
They do.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, Tribe
yes.
fans.
Yes. yes, they do. They have a strong front office. And, again, you know, this aforementioned observer of the Cubs who was arguing with me last offseason, again, he was observing the bottoming out process in Chicago. You have that. Hello, the people in Houston, I think they didn't expect it to be completely done last year. I think we expected at least a year of, you know, 500-esque treading water, which is about where I had Houston this year,
yeah.
You know, making the move next year. Same thing kind of with the Cubs. The Cubs are certainly playing way above what most people thought, even the biggest optimists. But this is an era in baseball that, you know, the Cubs and the Astros sort of personify this era right now where being young is not something that's going to hold you back. If you're good, it doesn't matter if you're young.
And the thing with that young stuff, they got a great manager, they got a great front office. But the thing with young kids playing in any sport, probably.
Yep.
But I know it from baseball, and I always preach this when I'm coaching. You need to play in meaningful games.
Yes.
Right now, Colorado, they're playing. There's no meaningful games.
Right.
You know, some of these teams like that, it's just like they're so far out of it. It's like, just get it.
They are
with.
Indeed. Yeah.
But they're in the pressure cookers.
Right.
Day in and day out trying to get a playoff spot. And that's gonna serve them well.
And we've heard a lot of hype this year, and deservedly so. Chris Bryant, a front runner for National League Rookie of the Year. But I'll tell you what, in terms of somebody who is more of a finished product at the moment, if not necessarily quite as high of a ceiling, but an unbelievable talent. And again, not on the level of the Goldschmidts, the Carlos Correas, whatever, at this point, and maybe he never will be, but as far as somebody who's not too far back, Anthony Rizzo. Is just
yes.
That guy can play for my team anytime, buddy. You know,
I mean, they've got him sprinkled all over the diamond.
They do indeed.
And the kid they just brought up was it? Who was the kid they just brought?
up? Kyle Schwarber, because he's been doing a lot for them. Yeah, he has been amazing, and yeah, this starting pitching, it's been a career year. Certainly for Jason Hamill, that has really helped my fantasy team a lot. Very grateful for that. But, the Cubs have been unbelievable. They are they're in the driver's seat right now for the number two wild card seed. In terms of continuity, let's stay there before we go to the division leader in the National League West and the likely division winner. The team that's trying to run them down, notwithstanding the fact that it is not an even-numbered year, but nevertheless, San Francisco in the thick of it. They're playing as though it's 2010, 2012, 2014, and a team that's won three titles in 5 years.
Yep.
It's certainly by the modern definition of the word a dynasty. And, again, you go back to teams like the turn-of-the-century Yankees, aside from the fact that, again, you know, they're the Yankees, guys like me and you can't get behind them, whatever. That's sort of a separate thing. But if you're just going to compare it to guys who come together, play as a team, overachieve relative to what you think when you see the stat sheet, I mean, you do have some guys there. I mean, Hunter Pence is a stud when he's healthy.
Oh.
Buster Posey, if we're going to define Derek Jeter as the face of baseball or the face of winning baseball. He became known as the greatest winner of his generation. Buster Posey has grabbed that torch and sprinted with it. I mean, you know, or Madison Bumgarner. I think of them in the same breath as sort of like the co-Jeters as far as the successor to that. We don't think of a pitcher as much in there, in that realm, but if we could, I mean, Bumgarner is one of the greatest big game guys in baseball history. What he did games, and this is one of the things, too, about it just makes me want to pull my hair out about what the mainstream knows about baseball these days. How is Madison Bumgarner not on the cover of every cereal box to Nome, Alaska after Game 7 of the World Series?
He hits home runs.
Yeah.
He's a pinch hitter this year. And, you know,
how's he not marketable? A big bear of a country boy? You can't do anything with that?
He's
kidding
Paul
me?
Bunyan.
Yeah. Yeah. He's sort of like the Goldschmidt of pitchers.
Exactly. And here, and I'm a convert. One of those shows in 12, 13, 14, or whatever the case may be, I remember, I think it was Tim Faust who was with us when we were doing a playoff thing. And I said, a prediction at the beginning of the year, I said, there's no way the Giants are going to win squat they have a bunch of, and I remember this saying this distinctly, a bunch of banjo hits.
Yeah, slappies.
Bunch of slappies. And
not the case anymore.
They win, and they win, and I'm thinking they got the biggest headed manager in all of baseball. His head, I don't know how they fitted a hat.
It is mammoth, yeah. But, I mean, Bruce Bochy, what can you say about this guy?
I mean, year in and year out. So that being said, I'm not going to write him off yet because that is such a traditional rivalry between the Dodgers and the Giants.
It is. It is. And it's – well, the thing that's funny, too, is – you know, you go back to something like this. I had just there's a number of great pop culture things that I've only experienced in recent years. I only in recent years, and my intro to it was seeing the 10-minute car chase scene on YouTube. I finally saw Bullet.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's a great movie. I saw it at the theater.
Oh, did you? Oh, God. All right. Well, there's a part in there when that is awesome, by the way. That is too great for words.
What time is it? I got to go to bed. Time for me to go to bed.
When they're in that crappy hotel room there, not long before the break-in and the shooting, and they're reading off the scores of a Giants-Dodgers game. I was just like,
really?
That's right. Even in like 68, this was a big deal. And if you go back like 1928, it was probably a big deal because it was all in New York at the time.
The 40s
and
50s.
That's an ancient, it's just like there are just touchstones that kind of, like you said, we all kind of think of like the 40s and 50s of like, you know, the Brooklyn Dodgers and, you know, Mickey and Duke and Willie. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's an enduring kind of a thing. Unfortunately, the new millennium being what it is, it sometimes takes the form of somebody wearing the wrong jersey to the wrong stadium, getting the crap beaten out of them outside the stadium. Yeah. You know, so the rivalry can go too far. But that's the bitterness and the historical kind of thing behind it here. You know, and again, the Dodgers, the best team money can buy, they've taken that torch from the Yankees. Except, you know, the Yankees actually did something with it. The Dodgers... again, up and down the line, I mean, they look like the perfect blend. I mean, we can quibble a little bit and say this rebuilt bullpen that they got at the deadline, is it going to be all that in a bag of chips? But beyond that, if they do what they're supposed to do, who can stop them?
Yeah. The Dodgers have got everything lined up, but we'll see. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be. It's going to be amazing. As the year's gone along, I mean, Jock Peterson goes from starting in the All-Star game, which I kind of thought was questionable. He had a very good first half, but still, to getting benched subsequently. So, you know, still some questions there. Which Yasiel Puig is going to show up? You never know.
Right.
But, well, you know, my picks, I'll go back to as we were saying here, you know, Mets, Cardinals, Dodgers to win the divisions. I'll say Pittsburgh and the Cubs in the wild card. I picked St. Louis before the season. I can't go against them now, so I'll say St. Louis over Toronto in the World Series. How do you see it shaking out?
St. Louis over Toronto.
That would be a fun one, wouldn't it?
I'm going to go with the Metropolitans in the East. I'm going to go with the Dodgers and St. Louis as, as the division winners.
So we agree all the way up to that point.
We do, and, geez, Lightning will probably strike us here, but Pirates and the Cubs in the wild card game.
Okay.
I think everybody's too far out to catch whoever is the second part of that, and the Pirates are 4.5 at this point as we speak above the Cubs.
Right.
So, and then, boy, this is, gosh, I just said I was going to pick the Giants or not doubt them, but I have to go with the machine that I know as a St. Louis against the Blue Jays.
All right. And that's, you like them to beat the Blue Jays? If so, we're in concurrence all the way down the line. I don't think I've ever done a show where we've had complete unanimity of me with somebody else. This could be a first.
Yeah, I gotta go with the Cardinals. I am so impressed with the way they handle their business, and with a second or third year manager. I mean,
yeah. I mean, Matheny's had them there every year, and it's not hard to follow a guy like La Russa. And you know, quite frankly, you look at the hash of it that Brad Ausmus has made in Detroit. Yeah. Now, part of that is bad contracts and a team that's aging and whatever. But, you know, lest we think, oh, well, he was just handed the perfect situation. Brad Ausmus was handed a pretty good situation after Jim Leland, and look at what's happened on his watch.
Yeah, and I said that, I remember, when we did that on a show, and our friend Steve. I thought last year they were going to take a dive.
Yeah.
But I was a year too early.
Yeah, you and I saw the same thing happening here. I'll tell you what, too. Yeah, you know, in St. Louis, you know, both on field in terms of the production that they've gotten out of Hayward this year, who I mean hasn't lit the world on fire, but has right. done just enough, both on field and then off field. Lest we forget, this is a team, out of any team in baseball, that could be playing with a big cloud over it this year. I mean, and I don't mean this in a bad way, although it's going to sound like a bad way, but I haven't heard anybody mention Oscar Taveras once. And that's,
No, and how much could they have used it?
Well, they could have. They really could have. Wow. And they had to trade Shelby Miller to get his replacement, who has had a very good year with Atlanta. So, I mean, it's not like they didn't have to pay a price for that in terms of talent. But then also, you know, it's a good thing for them on field that we aren't talking about Oscar Taveras. I guess it's a good thing that's not affecting them and bringing them down because, you know, Oscar or nobody else would have really wanted that. But it's really interesting. I mean, you know, look at the 93 Indians with Steve Olin. You know what I mean? Yeah. That can destroy your psyche.
Oh, yeah. And he's because he's one of those kids, Rick, mm-hmm. or was or projected to be.
Yeah.
Like a Bryant, like a Harper. Like, I mean, he was in that.
We're kind of ending this on a downer, but you're right.
Yet another promise.
He was a Harper-esque. You know, Goldschmidt-esque, not the same kind of guy, not a tall power hitter, but still, you know, speed, whatever.
Those guys are beyond blue chippers.
Yes.
In my mind.
That
those
was him.
The elite.
Yeah, yeah. And that's
those have the Hall of Fame possibilities.
Well, and I'll tell you what, though, and that's like, and it's a shame that he's always going to be remembered for what he was supposed to be, and it's going to be like, man, in an alternate history, he hit 10 home runs in the 2025 World Series, you know. But he for whatever it's worth, I mean, he did have that moment. He did have the home run last year in the playoffs against San Francisco, and he gave us something tangible
yes.
to show, you know, hey, man, when I get everything figured out, this is what I'm going to be. And unfortunately, circumstances took another, you know, branch from there.
But going down on a more positive note with
yes,
the Cardinals.
Yes, please. I'm depressing myself here.
Watching the Cardinals, and I love watching how they pitch the batters, all these major leaguers, and how I would mm-hmm. call a pitch and stuff, and I'm so far behind these guys light years, but mm-hmm. I enjoy watching them work it. I've always said, ever since I've seen the Indians back in 95, mm-hmm. With Albert Bell, Tomei, Ramirez, the whole gang, is that those outstanding team, that outstanding team in particular, when they had that group together, mm-hmm. they won games in the last at bat or the late innings.
Right.
To me, that is always marked since that time, not great, not good teams, but great teams.
That's right.
Because they can win at the end. Moss the other night.
Yeah.
Moss didn't do diddly for us here in Cleveland.
Right.
But he puts on a birds on a bat uniform,
mm-hmm.
and boom, he turns into the superpower, and he does what he's always done before he came to Cleveland. And here, I watch him, and it's just like, okay, we're playing whoever. Let's say we're playing Colorado or St. Louis. St. Louis, all of a sudden, will say, keep the seat warm. You guys stay ahead the first six or seven innings, and then, hey, thanks much. Get out of my seat. We're taking this game.
Right.
And it could be 3-2. It'll be a wild throw. It'll be something goofy. But they've got it. They've got it.
Well, but here's the thing, though. And let's bring it around on this note, because the difference between winners and losers, and ironically, it involves the two teams I picked to be in the World Series this year. I picked Cardinals over Indians. Cardinals are winners. Indians are losers. Here's the difference. He goes to St. Louis, and he produces. He's in a situation with the aforementioned Hayward, Matt Holliday, Matt Carpenter, etc.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, it's like, gee, I sure hope Carlos Santana doesn't go in the crapper this year, and he did. And it's a thing of it's whack-a-mole. With organizations that aren't committed, it's like, hey, great, this is Jason Kipnis sucked last year, and he's really good this year. Okay, well, unfortunately, Carlos Santana was really good, especially down the stretch last year, and now he sucks this year. There are no sure things, and I understand all the positivity trolls in the Indians fandom community would be like, no team has sure things. You're being a knuckle-dragger. No, but you can look at it scientifically, like a team like the Cardinals do, and be like, okay, there's a really good chance Matt Holliday is going to have an excellent year, and Jason Hayward yep. and Matt Carpenter. And that's the thing. It's who you're surrounded by. And the Indians lineup in retrospect, didn't have the bare minimum amount needed to carry him through.
And this, I heard this today. Somebody did an interview with Moss on his home run.
Mm-hmm.
And not to give credit to Moss, but he's just new with the team. New with the team this year. And he had a statement in the interview. What's the difference? How are you fitting in with the Cardinals? He said, and to me, this was telling not only to the Indians organization, but to other teams that aren't very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all 25 guys, coaches and managers, are in the game pitch by pitch.
Yep.
In a complete game. All of us.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me, reading between the lines, said these other teams where I came from, let's just say the Indians.
Yep.
They've got guys that are doing a circle jerk or going back and having a few beers.
Yep.
You know, packing their bags, ready to go home.
Or worrying about Bro-Hio signs in right field.
And to me, that statement alone was telling.
It is.
That every one of them are in it from the beginning to the very end.
Yep. That's absolutely true. And that's, again, you know, bringing it full circle here on picking St. Louis to win the World Series, which is the same pick I made at the beginning of the season. That's why winning organizations do that. And, I certainly think that when you're talking about winning, the melding together of the FDH Lounge and Life's a Pitch here in the 21st Century Media Alliance is the epitome of that. So, Ken, it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be able to talk baseball with you, my friend. You were coming on to our turf for this one. I look forward to coming on to your turf in the near future, returning the favor, and we're going to have some fun.
I got to get it going.
You will, buddy, and it's going to be a great thing. In the meantime, this has been a great sneak preview of that. Getting together to talk baseball with you here again. Thank you, Ken, for everything today. And thank you, everybody, for checking us out for FDH Lounge mini episode number 599.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.